Hello and welcome to Better by the Minute Live with Becca. My name is Becca Dukes, and every week I love to bring information that is empowering to you as an individual, being productive in your communities, in your world. And I invite you to betterbythemintelive.com. On my website, you will find links to my past guests, information on how to get a hold of them, and be able to benefit additionally from the information that they have shared, but also what more they have to offer as they are making a difference in their communities and in their areas of expertise, sharing their knowledge, sharing their gifts with all of us. Now, this week, I am very honored to be able to have back with us the one and only Jonathan Emord from Emord & Associates. He has done so much when it comes to constitutional law, the laws that he has written, things that are put into place that are supposed to be, honored and carried out. But there are certain entities that think they are above the law, no matter how many times they are sued, no matter how many times they are put in their place, they just don't adhere. And folks, it's time to change that. It's the people that we vote into office that will carry out those laws that have been honored as being constitutional, just, and best interest of our country. Jonathan, I just want to welcome you back to Better by the Minute Life with Becca. Thank you so much. Can we just jump right into the response that COVID-19 has had on our country, on the world, actually?
So the response to COVID was a fine example of authoritarianism, how governments chose a dictatorial approach rather than allowing the market of ideas and information to flourish so that the medical community would have a broad set of options available because anyone would be allowed to participate. We'd be looking at all different alternatives for treatment. We'd be looking at different things that were working. The information would be in real time. And you'd be able to discuss the problems with the vaccine, and you'd be able to discuss the need for treatments and the available treatments and which ones were effective and which were not. And that would lead to better results. And physicians would not feel intimidated into a one-size-fits-all approach and would be free to treat each patient according to that patient's needs. So the world took another approach. Our government, the Canadian government, France, Italy, England, they all took a different approach, Australia, in which there were either lockdowns, they destroyed private businesses, they had government control people's movement, they had government compel people to be masked, they had government propagandize that vaccines were the only way out. And now we're dealing with the consequences of dictatorship. When you do that sort of thing and you lock yourself into one solution and you censor all the other information, you end up with pretty harsh results. So we have a huge economic downturn, rampant inflation, which is in no small measure due to a whole series of authoritarian measures. And then you have all the adverse effects associated with the vaccine, and you have a likely increase in the incidence of death and serious bodily harm from this that will last for generations.
The thing that gets me, Jonathan, is there is so much scientific evidence against the vaccines, yet they are still being pushed. You can go into, conspiracy theory, all of these different, that's just that person's opinion type thing. well, everything is an opinion, but so much of it is backed by science, which the FDA has been suppressing for so long, it blows my mind. And now we have a lot of people that are uninformed or misinformed that are, like you said, suffering the consequences of the vaccine, whether you want to call it vaccine, immunization, jab, whatever you want to call it. From my end, what I'm seeing, there is more negative effect on people's health than there is positive. Yet that's not being reported, at least not in mainstream media. There are several different media avenues that are reporting it, but the people that really need to hear it aren't hearing it. Is it because they don't want to hear it?
Well, fear induces, it's one of the primary means by which those who wish to run your life and through government achieve that objective, is by making you afraid to be independent, afraid to be free. And then you're willing to give your freedom away. And when they acquire the power from that, then they can dictate how you'll run your life. And that's what we went through. We went through an experience, which I hope will be an education for everyone, that when you give up your freedom to government, you lose. I mean, it's slavery. You voluntarily become a slave. And so we have an entire party, Democrat Party, dedicated to the enslavement of the population by destroying the free market, destroying parental rights, destroying the freedom of choice of people, and asking you to just accept it, like Biden did the other day, just to accept that gas prices at $6 or more a gallon and inflation in the marketplace is part of a transition. He talks about that while it's uncomfortable presently for people, it's what is necessary. And when we achieve that transition, then you will be happy with the way things are. That transition is to socialism. That transition is to the destruction of free enterprise and this idea of a government-run planned economy and a green economy in which they use highly expensive, very inefficient, intermittent energy sources like wind and solar in place of fossil fuels. It's the destruction of the entire market, and it's the ruination of everyone's lives. And he's asking us to go through that because he says on the other side, it'll be better. Really? Every country that has tried to promote wind and solar power has fallen on its face. And it's because it's enormously expensive. It's not reliable. It's 10 times the expense of natural gas. And the sky is falling argument is just false. The idea that we're going through some unusual climate change experience where the polar ice caps will end up melting and that the entire world will be drowned and the shores of the West Coast will be at Utah and the East Coast will be gone. There's no foundation in science to support that. The temperatures have fluctuated within a very modest range for thousands of years in recorded history. There's no foundation for the idea that it would be somehow different than that. It's not happening.
Right. And this transition, as you were talking about that, what was coming to my mind was this transition of the fall of our constitutional rights, being able to have any other freedoms in choice of where we shop, what we do for entertainment, what we put into our bodies, falls right into the global censorship of health information and having that control. And you mentioned your book, The Authoritarians. They have so much control. And when we talk about the FDA, and how they just blatantly ignore any type of legislature. I mean, you've written several bills that have been passed and approved, and they act as if they're above that. How are they getting away with that?
Well, it's an old story, and I explain it in detail in The Authoritarians. I explain it in Global Censorship. The FDA is a captive of the drug industry. The agency's leaders are all political appointees. The Congress is a captive of the drug industry. As Dan Burton told me one time, he's a member of Congress who was the former head of the Government Reform and Oversight Committee. And he said that, Jonathan, the drug lobby is so powerful that any bill that it wants will be passed by Congress, because every member of Congress almost receives significant sums of money each election cycle from the lobbying entities for the drug companies. And the committee chairs even get more money from the drug industry. And so if they want a bill passed, it'll be passed. And if they don't want a bill to be passed, it won't be. And he worked tirelessly to oppose Big Pharma and to break apart the FDA's stranglehold on access to experimental drugs. I wrote the Access to Medical Treatment Act. Dan Burton was a co-signer on that. It was written for Ron Paul. And that was introduced and didn't go anywhere until Donald Trump surprised the entire Congress in a State of the Union address and said that the Right to Try bill, which is what it became, the Right to Try bill will be passed in this session of Congress. And he forced it through. And so people, for the first time in our history, despite over a decade of our fighting for that, were given access to experimental drugs if they were terminally ill. Before that, the FDA would consign them to death. I represented a boy named Zachary McConnell. He was getting treated with antineoplastins at Dr. Brzezinski's clinic in Texas. It was shrinking a glioblastoma in his brain very effectively. The FDA reviewed Brzezinski's clinical trial and said, this boy cannot be a participant in it. He doesn't meet the criteria. You've exempted him from the criteria to get him in, and we disagree. And they kicked him out. And then I fought with Dan Burton for a whole bunch of patients. I fought for my client, testified before his committee. We had to put the FDA commissioner in the hot seat. Burton pressured him like you wouldn't believe. And all of a sudden, after that commissioner had said that there was no way that he would ever contradict the medical review staff, the oncology staff of the agency, if they said someone shouldn't receive an experimental drug, he wouldn't overrule it. Suddenly, they started overruling all these decisions to deny treatment because the FDA commissioner's head would have been in a noose thanks to Burton. So I got a fax from the FDA saying, after over a month of fighting for this boy, that they had somehow misread the MRIs and that actually the areas they thought were shading really upon further examination did show a reduction in tumor size sufficient to justify his admission in the clinical trial. So then they allowed him back into the clinical trial, but it was too late. The tumor had grown substantially and he died. They killed people and they have blood on their hands and they were indiscriminate. They kill babies and young people and mothers and fathers. So it's an agency in which politics rules over science. The self-interest of those political appointees rules over science. So they feather their own nests for future employment when they leave. And they do that by favoring one set of drug companies over others so that when they get out, they get complimented by those drug companies with either future employment or a chair at a university or any number of other, be on the board of directors of entities and get paid handsomely for doing nothing. That's why they're willing to sell their country out for that. Of course, the president is willing to sell out his country, and his son has sold out his country and to the Russians and to the Chinese and to Ukrainian oligarchs and enemies of the United States. And Biden happily took a part of that money and paid his mortgages and other expenses. And so he's compromised, and his son is a person who's engaged in massive influence peddling with his help, gaining access to the vice president, then vice president. And despite all of their insistence that this had come to an end, the son is still involved with the same Chinese people and entities that he was using to gain influence in the Obama administration. And Hillary Clinton did the same thing with her foundation. These people are terribly corrupt, and they have sold out our country. They should pay the price for that. But of course, where are the FBI investigations going? You know, maybe someday, but will they be long dead by then? I don't know. Certainly not the kind of urgency that I would expect, given the enormous threat that it poses to our country.
It's crazy that there isn't urgency. The lack of urgency in prolonging any type of action taken against them has just given them more time to be even more corrupt. It's like with each administration, it's getting worse and worse. And now they've got this jab that's attacking the people right where they're at, and including the future. I mean, there's so many cases now of sterility in women not being able to conceive, and even having miscarriages late in pregnancy after having this immunization, this jab. What's the proper term for it, Jonathan?
Well, they had a choice at the start of this whole thing, and that was to be transparent or not. They chose not to be transparent. They chose to control the selection of the methods for dealing with the virus rather than allow the virus to be dealt with in any way that physicians out there and other healthcare practitioners deemed appropriate. And rather than allow a full open discussion of the pros and cons of the vaccine and of treatments, and they went the vaccine route. What they chose to do was emphasize the vaccine to the exclusion of everything else, as opposed to emphasize the vaccine and allow other alternatives and allow open discussion. So we had big tech colluding with the government, censoring any criticism of the vaccines, censoring any recommendations for treatment in lieu of the vaccines, medical boards cooperating with big tech and with the Biden administration to censor the information by driving out of existence doctors who were courageous enough to recommend treatments for which there was scientific support, like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine, even though it was controversial, even though they could lose their license, and then they are losing their licenses. And then they are being punished because they didn't go along with the government narrative, not because there wasn't any science, not because in a desperate situation, doctors should have the liberty to choose a treatment in an emergency. In an emergency, when there are not known cures, when there are not available means, those that are understood to have a promise of efficacy should be available and capable of being used to save the life of a patient. In this crisis, that was not allowed. So you have doctors who were intimidated into avoiding ivermectin with a passion or hydroxychloroquine with a passion because they didn't want to lose their licenses, because they didn't want to suffer rebuke from their colleagues, because they didn't want the government to go after them, because they didn't want to be attacked by the FDA. You have the FDA clamping down, restricting the availability of treatments of all kinds, even monoclonal antibodies, even though there's a huge demand for it, even though we would have saved thousands of lives had we allowed this use of hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin and monoclonal antibodies, had they allowed competition to the notion of vaccination as the only answer, which of course, once you have COVID, it's not an answer, they didn't do that. And the reason was they created this false paradigm where they said that everything will be all right if we reach, first it was 65% level of vaccination, full vaccination. Then it was 75, 80%. Then it was 90%. Then it was everybody. Everybody in the United States needs to be vaccinated. And then they discovered that the vaccine had limited protective effect only against the specific original strain, had potentially some effect against other variants, but not equal to the original strain. And then with regard to the original strain, they discovered, gee, we told people it might last a year or more of protection. It really looks like it might be a couple of months. And then we have the boosters, and then they're trying to use the boosters to get the immune system cranked up again. And then they're discovering that the boosters don't last for more than a month or two. And so you end up with no solution at all. And what COVID did is what COVID would do. COVID ripped through our countries and decimated the populations. And the emphasis on vaccination didn't change that trajectory one iota. We still had all the deaths. Then people who are vaccinated are getting COVID. The numbers are enormous. The numbers of people who were vaccinated and still got COVID is enormous. The variants they got. But what happened? Well, the natural immunity, which they suppressed as effective, Fauci and others refused to admit any effectiveness of natural immunity at all. In fact, they dismissed it. They wouldn't even calculate the extent of the population that had natural immunity on the CDC's website for the vast majority of the pandemic. They had the information, they wouldn't release it. And finally, they begin to release it. And they start by saying, oh, well, natural immunity might provide some immune protection, but not comparable to vaccination. Then we ultimately get all the science out that they had been withholding, most of it. We still don't have a bunch of it, but enough to show that indeed, as the doctors in this field, immunologists and scientists had predicted at the start, natural immunity provides a very effective immunity against reinfection and diminishes the effect of variants. In fact, it seems to be a broad scale, broad scope protective effect, and it lasts for significant amount of time, months, as in maybe 8 months, maybe 12 months, maybe a lifetime. All right, that information to this day is not liberally communicated. Then we found that treatments were very effective. We found that early treatment with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, monoclonal antibodies, other things were very effective if given right off the bat when you got sick. And when you were given these treatments, it was highly effective in avoiding hospitalization and death. Did they open treatment centers around the United States? Did they have a warp speed to deliver all these things? Biden did the opposite.
So much information, we could just go on and on, but we do need to take a little break here. You are listening to Better by the Minute Live with Becca on KSCO 1080 AM, Santa Cruz. We will be right back. And we are back with Better by the Minute Live with Becca
Again, don't forget to check out my website, betterbythemintelife.com, where you will find more information about all of my guests, including ways that you can connect and stay connected in getting the information that you deserve to have a better by the minute life, as you are an empowered individual to do so. Let's get back with our conversation with Jonathan Emord.
We have lost people's lives because doctors didn't recommend early treatment, because it wasn't available to them, or because they were fearful of ramifications if they recommended treatment. Not only that, we so politicized treatment that patients who were unvaccinated were turned away from hospitals. They were turned away from hospitals not only with COVID, but also if they needed any other operation. So if you needed heart surgery or liver transplant or kidney transplant, they were turning them away even when they were juveniles. So this is outrageous. And there should be severe legal consequences for that kind of discrimination and action against patients who were in dire need. But we've allowed unequal justice under law to be the rule of the day. We have groupthink. If you are in a particular ethnic group or racial group, you're preferred by the government in all manner. And if you just happen to be white, you are not preferred in general. And this is all part of a social justice campaign, which really violates the 14th and 5th Amendments to the Constitution, which were to guarantee us equal justice under law, regardless of our race or our ethnicity. We were supposed to be all Americans, but they decided to divide us into groups and treat us differently based on what group we were divided into. So it's all nonsense, but it's severely damaging, and the consequences have been lethal.
So lethal that their push to control this virus, they were even talking about it back in 2015, some documentation that I've read, that it wasn't a pandemic, it was more planned. And then the time that they say to have this vaccine ready and have the testing and have any type of science behind the safety, they had plenty of time, but it obviously was not utilized in an ethical way, because from what I see, the safety of this vaccine has not been there.
The Pfizer information, for example, that the FDA suppressed and wouldn't allow to be released until they were working with Pfizer to try to keep that information suppressed for over, 99 years. And they were forced to allow the information. It's coming out in dribs and drabs. And as it comes out, we are seeing that contrary to what they were saying to the public, there were enormous and severe adverse effects that they were not admitting were associated with the vaccine. And that has been part of this big lie. I mean, the Biden administration has misled the American people in ways that have cost human lives. And people need to recognize that. They were so interested in controlling the political message communicated and in maintaining this one-size-fits-all vaccinate everybody approach that they put on blinders as to all the harms, and they just insisted on driving it through, and they insisted on censoring the information, keeping it out of the marketplace so that you as a consumer would not be able to exercise informed choice. And all you would hear is, you should be vaccinated. It's perfectly safe. Go get the vaccine. It's highly safe. It's extremely safe. It's very effective. It's an extremely effective vaccine. Go get the vaccine. It's safe and effective. You can have your children get it. Five-year-olds can get it. Children of all ages should have it. Oh, we want that to be a requirement to go to school. We want that to be a requirement to participate in sports. We want everyone to be vaccinated. Now we're realizing, gee, there are heart problems in children associated with the vaccine. Gee, there are some weird hepatitis-like symptoms that can be lethal in children and have been that are cropping up. Oh, gee, There are organ failure issues. There's blood clotting. And the list goes on and on and on. The mRNA vaccine, base for much of the vaccines, alters your DNA, alters your system, some in ways that are potentially irreparable, causing the manufacture of the spike proteins. The spike proteins themselves are things that cause damage throughout your body into all your organ systems. And sometimes that damage is severe. And sometimes it manifests itself in heart murmurs and afibrillation and damage to your kidneys and damage to your lungs and damage to your brain. And, you know, and so it's not that there could not have been a vaccine. It's just that we needed freedom of choice. We needed to decide if we wanted to be vaccinated or not. And we needed to be respected in our choice. It's our bodies and our choice, our freedom. And we needed to be respected in our choice to go for treatment instead of vaccination. And we needed a willingness on the part of the government to allow the free market to flourish such that treatments could be liberally available at every street corner and allowing us to have access to it through doctors who would understand they wouldn't be punished if they made treatments available. But instead, they chose an authoritarian approach. And the lesson is, if you think you're going to be free in a socialist country, if you think you're going to be free under authoritarianism, if you think you're not going to be a slave, that slavery will be abolished by the new socialism, then you don't understand what it's like to have the government as your slave master, because that's what socialism is. You want to find a socialism or a slavery that there's no escape from? Then go ahead and endorse this authoritarianism. Go ahead and see what it does to the greatest country on earth. Watch as inflation runs rampant like in Venezuela. Watch when you have no choice about your future. The government decides it for you. Watch when your job is controlled and the amount of money that you have. And get willing to stand in line, because they'll cap prices in response to runaway inflation. That'll cause massive shortages of food and of gas. And you want to see your standard of living plummet? You want to see a future destroyed for your children? You want to live in misery? Then go ahead and endorse this socialism. Go become a member of BLM or Antifa. Enjoy the socialism, the Marxist narrative. Think about how great it's going to be when they finally triumph. Oh, yeah. Well, that's been happening for centuries now. And everybody who's gone the commie or socialist route has realized very quickly that freedom is gone, terror is everywhere, and your head can be in a noose just as a rich man's head can be in a noose. And sooner or later, they go all the way down to the lowest coolie or kulak, and they take that person like they did in Russia, who has nothing but a piano that was given to them by their grandfather. They steal the piano first. They grab you and throw you into a concentration camp because you would tell that the party leaders stole the piano. And so it's more convenient just to see you rot and die in a cell. Now, this is what happens. And this is real. And this can happen here. And the only way it's going to be prevented is if people who are truly patriotic, who truly love this country, become active. That the silent majority becomes a vocal majority and insists on people who can lead this country in the direction the founding fathers set for us, returning to that original constitution, limits on government power, maximum freedom, and opening up the marketplace so that we can be prosperous. All boats can rise in this country. There's no limit to the human potential, and everyone can have a chance. And we won't be governed by politics. We'll be governed by our own self-interest and abilities. It'll be a meritocracy, and everyone will benefit when the greatest in this country can achieve and introduce into the market the greatest advancements to help make our lives better and easier. We will all benefit if you go for a government-mandated bureaucratic approach where there's a planned economy. You get what the politicians want. They become the richest people on earth, and all the rest of us become slaves to the state. And that's the problem. It began in the 2020 election It began before the 2020 election, when all of a sudden, within a day of each other, Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, and Chuck Schumer, the majority leader in the Senate, both Democrat leaders, and the party said that if the country voted for Bernie Sanders, they would support that vote and they would support that agenda. In other words, an avowed Democrat socialist would bring a socialist agenda to America. And the Democrat leaders and the Democrat Party said, we're all in. That was the day they crossed the Rubicon. They had been advocating a deviation from the Constitution from the 1880s forward. They advocated the creation of the administrative state, which is entirely unconstitutional. There's no provision in the Constitution for the powers of the executive and legislative and judicial to be transferred out of those branches and into entities outside of the branches of government, like the independent regulatory commissions, agencies, bureaus, departments, of which there are over 250 today. They make 3/4 of all the laws, and they are unelected. They're unaccountable to the courts. They're unaccountable to the American people. And they rule like kings. They rule like little fiefdoms, and they don't abide by the Constitution, and they don't really care what happens when they swing an axe in your direction. And they've destroyed many businesses. And so this is a part of a democratic movement that began in the 1880s and continued. Republicans have been complicit in it. The government's bureaucracy has egged it on. They have wanted this socialist state. And they crossed the Rubicon in 2020. They crossed the Rubicon before the election. And then when Biden came in, before he came in, and the only reason why he was able to come in is that he is so feckless, so lacking in principle, such a willing tool that he gave his soul to the Democrat Party and particularly to the radical left of the party. And he agreed to this socialist agenda, and he's seeing it through. He will see it through no matter what it does. If it's $8 a gallon by September or October, that's fine. If it is unaffordable for people to buy groceries, by and large, that's fine. If it means you won't have baby formula forever, that's fine. If it means that you can't go to work, that's fine. If it means that everybody who earns under a certain level will be on welfare from the federal government, that's fine, because it means greater government control. If he collapses the whole economy, then the government will take it over, and the government will run it like every other communist regime in the history of the world. It'll benefit the politicians, and it'll hurt every single person, because in Biden's America, the individual doesn't count. Only the group, the political group that has power counts, everyone else does not. So your future, your children's future, what happens to your kids in school, what they do to your kids, whether they change, they take their gender and say no, when they're in preschool all the way through the 12th grade, you don't have to be a boy, you don't have to be a girl. In fact, we can help you. And in fact, if you change a gender, we'll celebrate that. And we'll show you how it can be done. And there are drugs that can suppress your hormones, and they also cause cancer, but we won't talk about that. And then there are also, we can permanently mutilate your body by surgically altering it to look like another gender, even though it won't function that way. And we'll do that for you. And we'll call you Bill. We'll call you Sissy. And we'll call you Sissy. We'll call you Bill. And they so confuse and so manipulate and so abuse your kids. And then they teach them the critical race theory message. They teach them if they're black or if they're of color, that no matter what they do, no matter how hard they try, they can never succeed in America. And they can never succeed because America is said to be systemically racist. We weren't born out of a concept that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with unalienable rights. The Declaration of Independence in 1776. No, we came out of slavery in 1619 in the Jamestown colony. And it was 20 black slaves who arrived there. They don't tell you that 4 months before, 100 whites were indentured servants too and came to the Jamestown colony and were slaves there. And they don't tell you that after those 20, for years coming into the Jamestown colony, were more slaves, but they were all white. And they don't tell you that tens of thousands of whites were enslaved during the colonial period, all the way up to the 1860 Civil War. They don't tell you that. And while there were 4 million blacks enslaved by 1860, there were also blacks in America who owned slaves themselves. So we have this pox upon all of our families, white, black, or whatever, out of slavery. Slavery is a horrendous institution. I don't want to be a slave to any human being. I don't want to be a slave to the state. And I don't understand why anyone else would want to be a slave to either of those things. We all want freedom. We're all Americans. Our pigment is irrelevant. It's skin deep, literally. That's as far as it goes. I can change your pigment with drugs. I can change your pigment from one to another. Pigment is irrelevant. Pigment is as stupid and irrelevant as a hair color. You can dye your hair one direction. You can dye it in another direction. I mean, who cares? Or eye color. I mean, who cares? It's what's inside your cranium and what you do with it that counts. What counts is what you make of yourself. Are you contributing to the society? Are you a person who's independent? Will you defend liberty? Will you defend the Constitution? If you are, you're an American. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what gender you are. But now they want us all to focus on our gender, focus on the superficialities. Mm-hmm. Associate yourself with people with the same color. Associate yourself with people with the same gender. Disassociate yourself with all others. If you don't like that, change your gender. We'll help you with that. Or, you know, I mean, this is utter nonsense. We are completely destroying society. We are eliminating the nuclear family. We are making it difficult for Americans to live. We're creating a generation after generation after generation of young revolutionaries who will attack the United States, will attack the free enterprise system, will attack each other, will hate themselves, hate each other, hate their parents. That's what we're building. And no society can survive that. So the solution, as it always has been, is freedom. Is liberty. And the solution is to downsize the government. And at the founding of this country, the message was very clear. Thomas Jefferson, for example, in 1803, in his inaugural address, defined good government. He said, "A wise and frugal government shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their interests, their industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned." He said, that is the sum of good government, those three things. And when it comes to liberty, we were supposed to have the maximum liberty possible without violating someone else's rights. And that was Jefferson's definition of liberty. He said, of liberty, I would say it's an unrestricted exercise of your will. But rightful liberty is unobstructed exercise of your will within, not within the limit of the law, but to avoid the violation of others' equal rights. So that was the only limitation, avoidance of the violation of others' equal rights. And then he said, the law is not the answer, because the law is often but the tyrant's will, and always so when it violates an individual right. So if we truly understand who we are as a people and get rid of all this rewrite of history and appreciate that a people of liberty stand for those principles that are in the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, all men are created equal, and men by his meaning, contrary to the BLM narrative, means all humanity, humankind. He didn't limit it to gender. He didn't limit it to race, all people. And this becomes very apparent if you study Jefferson. But all men are created equal, endowed by their creator, not by government, but their creator, with unalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Governments, he says, are instituted among men to protect the rights of the governed. That's its purpose. We're sovereign. The government is our servant. And furthermore, just governments derive their power from the consent of the governed. That's a very important thing. You can't change the Constitution without a constitutional amendment. Why? Because our government is based on the consent of the governed. And that is because no power can be exercised over you unless given your opportunity to consent to that. And that's why all this liberal reinterpretation of the Constitution violates the Constitution. If they want to reinterpret the Constitution to create some constitutional right to abortion, then they have to amend the Constitution. You can't seize that power. When Blackmun created a right of privacy, he violated the basic concept of consent underlying the trust that is given the justices to defend, or to, in the language of Alexander Hamilton, to be guardians of the Constitution. He violated that trust. There is no federal power to enable you to have an abortion by course of federal law. There is no such power. There's no jurisdiction over the issue of abortion in the federal government. And so it was wrong to create a new right out of whole cloth and attach it to the Constitution. It was not with the people's consent. The powers were in the states over these health and safety issues, not delegated to the federal government. And for a justice or for the majority of the court to change the law in that way was wrong. And hopefully, if the court sticks to its guns presently, we will see that reversed, because there is no power. And we have to protect the right of the public, that the consent of the governed must be present in order to amend the Constitution or change it. Otherwise, it becomes a meaningless document subject totally to political whim or those who are in power. And it cannot be that if we are to be protected, if our true rights are to be protected.
And you had mentioned the foundational vision for this country. When I listened to you go through that, the first thing that came to my mind was the National Institute of Health and the FDA that are complete opposite in what they have done in taking that power away from us. And it's like establishing dominion over what we can and can't do and say when it comes to our own health.
It's exactly that. And, you know, we look, most of us, at what Justin Trudeau did to Canada, and we were appalled that he, with exercise of the Emergencies Act in Canada, could take people who were just simply lawfully protesting a loss of liberty and incarcerate them and freeze their bank accounts, make it impossible for them to have jobs, and prosecute them and throw them in jail without due process, and terrorize people and threaten them and force them out of business. All those types of tyrannical activities that are the quintessential example of a true tyrant, which Justin Trudeau is. Person who deserves no act, no claim, no respect, and deserves to be viewed as infamous as any other dictator in the history of the world, and an enemy of the people's liberties and an enemy of his own people. Rather than having any condemnation, like I just said, by the president, and a defense of American liberty, and a statement to Canadians that if you're being persecuted, you will be viewed as exiles from Canada who are entitled to asylum in the United States. And we will take you and we will allow you to live here in the United States if you prove that you have been victimized or subject to victimized by Trudeau's tyranny. That would have been an appropriate thing to do. And it would have been a sign of strength in defense of liberty. But of course, Biden admired Trudeau. Biden admired that he could get away with that kind of power. Biden wants that power too. And so he didn't condemn what he did. He didn't condemn it at all. He didn't show any sympathy for the people whose rights were being violated. Not one bit, not one sentence, not one crumb did he throw in their general direction. He is a person who does not understand or believe in individual rights, the cornerstone of the American Republic. He doesn't believe in it. He doesn't value it. He's doing everything to destroy it. We have a $1.9 trillion bill that he signed into law, the American Rescue Plan, which was largely social welfare spending and redistribution of income spending. And another one atop that, the Infrastructure and Jobs Act of $1.2 trillion, $3 trillion, the largest outpouring of federal spending into the economy in the history of the United States in the shortest period of time and the largest amounts ever in our history. And the result is necessarily and is a result of that spending so that we have inflation, runaway inflation. It's going to get worse. And what was his answer to that inflation? A $3.5 trillion additional expenditure in the form of the Build Back Better program, which failed in Congress. Had it passed, inflation that you see now would be even so, it would double or triple. And it would be the total destruction of this country. And you talk about cruelty to the poor. The grossest example of cruelty to the poor is to make their dollar worth nothing, such that they starve and have no opportunity. And that's where he's headed. This is a person who is pushing America off the cliff. We can't survive this economically. And so it has to end. It has to end. It will end because no one is going to vote for their impoverishment, their enslavement, and their impoverishment. Americans will not do that to themselves. A small minority will, the BLM people, the Antifa people, these nuts who want to make America a communist country and believe that somehow they're going to be on top of it. They'd slit each other's throats until one of them rose to the top. And they're willing to do that. The rest of us, not so much. I think we're going to see that change.
And that's part of why I wanted you to come on here, is there is so much abuse of authority going on right now that people need to hear about it. You have been listening to Better by the Minute Life with Becca. I can't believe our hour is already up. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Becca.
I look forward to bringing more information in the future. And folks, get connected. You will find him on so many different shows that feature bringing your constitutional rights and protecting your liberties to light. Again, that is Jonathan W. Emord of Emord and Associates. Make sure you follow him, as this is just the beginning. And we will be back next week with more information empowering to help you create a better by the minute life. Bye for now.